And I love the way this book starts. It grabs your attention right from the start, like as in you open, you go to Jonah 1, verse 1, and it says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. How's that? It's like, yes. And you can hear there was bass in that when Jesus spoke. It wasn't just, hey, Jonah. It was like, Jonah. There was power there when he spoke. And Jonah listened to it. And then the first thing essentially that turns to Jonah, because it says the word came to Jonah and God spoke, but Jonah. Eish. And I was, as I made these notes, I was wondering, how often do we sit together like this? And we hear the word, but Adrian. How many times have you sat here and someone was preaching or you're singing songs, worshiping God, and you felt that was really good? You know, God, you really spoke to me. There's that thing. I think I need to put my hand up, and I think I need to go to one of, get someone next to me to pray with me, or come to the front and get someone to pray with me. Have you all, suggest me that you get that. Okay, you felt that. But me. Hey? There's a little bit of Jonah in all of us, because we tend to read, like, especially books like Jonah, we read it and we go, you know what, that's a good story with a very good moral. Hey, Cinderella is a good story with a good moral. That's what we do with it. And when Jesus speaks, and when he speaks, God speaks, the word came to connected life, but us. So can we agree this morning there's a little bit of Jonah in all of us? Because I like when I read through the book, it's encouraging in one sense, the way the story unfolds, but I also pick up there's a bit of a warning for all of us. Because, but Jonah, and he runs away, and a storm comes. And my message this morning is going to be around that storm, because storms come into our lives. And we get raised in Sunday school, you sing about gentle, or you pray, gentle Jesus, meek and mild. We think about Jesus in the crib. We think about Jesus. We sing about the goodness of the Lord. And then we hear things like, God sent a wind. Like, hold on. God, did you send a storm? It's like, yes. So if that is a bit shocking to you, it's unfortunately we have to preach what the Bible says. We can't make up our own things. God does send storms. He lets things happen in our lives. And we need to go, you know what, God? But me, I'll put me aside. But when you send those things, I need to listen. Because, and I love what the writers in Hebrew, on Hebrews, the writer writes the following. He says, endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If they are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. So when those storms come, it's actually an encouragement to say you're a son and a daughter. Because I don't see in Scripture Jesus saying, go make disciples of all nations. And when you do, no trouble shall befall upon you. And your paths will be straight. And you will have everything. No tears shall be shed by you. I don't remember that sermon of Jesus. I do remember Jesus on the cross. And I remember the stories of the disciples, what they went through. Jesus does not promise a comfortable life. He promised eternal life. That's what we ran for. But we're going to face storms. They're going to come and they're going to upheave us and they're going to be rough. And some of you may be going through storms now. As I'm speaking, your mind is going, Adrian, I don't understand what my life is like at the moment. I don't know where's up or down. I'm not sure which direction to go. But I can tell you this, you're in the right place, because you're not alone. If you turn to your left or to your right, chances are someone is going through something. And if you look to your other side, maybe up, down, Doesn't matter. Someone is going through it. But through all of that, I can promise you this, God is with you. So can we agree that we all have a little Jonah? We're all running away from something. We all have heard, but us. I'm included. Me, I'm probably a first hand to go up if you were to ask. Yes, I'm very good at running away. That's why I don't have any like sort of cut marks in my face. Yes, I don't look back when I run away. I grew in an area that wasn't the greatest, so I had to learn how to run away at a very young age. You get to pace yourself. It's that initial sprint. Then you first check, are they following? Because, for a colored guy, you still have to keep your cool. So if you're running away, you can't just like look like you've lost it. You still need to sort of, and then you need to do the, okay, yeah. So we all have a bit of Jonah, and we will all face storms. Yes. And throughout, remember, you're not alone. So let's continue with Jonah's story this morning. We'll pick it up. Now the Lord came to Jonah. I think we can skip that and move on to the, that's a big scroll. So we pick it up from verse 4. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea. So this is after Jonah heard the word of God and decided to run 2,000 miles in the opposite direction, gets on a boat, pays his way, and it says the Lord hurled. So it's not like he blew, it was like, wah. A great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried out to his God, and they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it. But Jonah had gone into the inner part of the ship and had laid down to rest and was fast asleep. Yeah, I don't know about you, but Darren and I have been on a storm in the ocean. It was a big ferry. They say you're going to go on a ferry across the ocean. We went from England to Ireland. They said you're going to be a ferry. I thought those little ferries that you see in the movies with the big thing at the back, I was like, oh, get there. It's like a double, like a massive story building. It's like there's a lift in it that you can go through all the floors. I was like, sheesh, this is like a hotel. But anyway, so it ferries us across. And as we leave port, I hear the captain announce, ladies and gentlemen, just to have your attention, there may be some choppiness this morning. And here was the key. We will be putting on the stabilizers, but we don't think it will have much effect. So I was like, okay. So first off, if the captain is trying to keep us calm, second of all, if those stabilizers are not going to have an effect, then it must be going, yes. And this is where my dad's advice when I was very small came in very handy. He said, whenever you're on a boat in the middle of the ocean, if you can, sit in the middle. Don't look at the horizon also. You want to keep everything close to you. So I remember that, and I told Taryn, let's sit in the middle of the boat. So we found a space there. We sat there. Taryn was like, 6 weeks pregnant? So, yes. And about halfway through the journey, it was hectic. I had to go get something to eat for us. So as I'm walking to the like restaurant thing, it's like I'm walking, and then I'm walking uphill. It's like you're going uphill like this. And then all of a sudden, you're going downhill. And then you're walking against the side of the mountain. There was, and I'm not making this up, a lady and I were walking like this. She was like 5 meters away from me. She's coming towards me. I'm coming towards her. And you know when you're walking towards someone, you pick a side you want to go through. So I pick right side, and I can see she's left side. I know we're missing each other, but we were like... We walked slam smack into each other just because if you sat on the side of the boat, you look out the window. The window itself, you look out and then you would see sort of the top of the window and the horizon line, right? So this is the sea, the top of the window. It did this. It went like up like this and then it came down like this. It was the bathrooms. I'm not going to say what the bathrooms looked like, but it was like Second World War, decimation. Storms on the ocean are no joke. Those waves are massive. You've got no control. Trust me, you try and walk, you've got no control. And this storm that these guys were going through is even worse. Because their captain and the crew, they weren't like, so just fasten your seatbelts. We may experience some turbulence. They were, we're going to die. And they throwing stuff. That was utter chaos. Can you imagine this sound here? With thunder and lightning, it was death and mayhem. So you get a picture of the storm. I am actually. So storms come, and when they do, especially big ones, they're going to heave us around. You're going to be tossed to and fro. And it may feel like you've got no idea what's going on. You've got no control. You literally feel like you're just being swung around to who knows where. And that's what storms do. And that's why my title this morning is Alone in the Storm. Because what Satan tells you when that storm hits is like you did something wrong and God is upset with you. You're alone. Tries to isolate you. It's the first thing the devil does when that storm hits. Because then you're down in the bottom of the ship and everything is shaking. Stuff are rolling around. You've got no clue what's going on. And worse, you've got no control over what's going on. And Satan comes and says, you are alone. You're going to die here. And he wants you to stay there. Yes? Very important. When the storms come, recognize this. You're going to feel alone. You're going to feel out of control. You're going to feel like I don't matter. My opinion doesn't matter. No one cares. I don't know how to handle the situation. I'm losing control. I'm busy dying. I'm busy drowning. Dear Lord, please help me. Yes. I don't know how many has been there. It's not a good place to be at. But at the same time, it's the best place to be at. Because that's when God is the closest to you. Yeah. So God sends storms in our lives. And sometimes, you know, it's because of something that we did that these storms come. Something, if you rob a bank and end up in jail and you go, yeah, dear Lord Jesus, please help me in this storm. It's like, yes, but you can't say God caused this. It's you stole. So you need to learn not to steal. Yeah, it's one of those things. So storms, they different forms. Sometimes we get disciplined. God will send a storm to discipline us, to teach us something. Sometimes the storm will be to protect us from something else. I was reminded the Israelites, they came out of Egypt. They got to the edge of the promised land. They were ready to go in, and they send the spies in, and the spies come back and they say, it's horrible, there are giants there, they're going to kill us. If God had allowed them to go in then, they would have been taken out. Yeah. So God says, to protect you, we're going to send you into the desert, because this generation isn't ready for my blessing. So he sent them into the desert, and then when they were ready, they could go in. So they went into the desert to protect them from something worse, where they would have lost their identity probably. We can't speculate, but we can sort of surmise. If you're standing on the outside and you're saying, look at the giants, imagine if you're there standing in front of it. They're going to be 10 times bigger. So sometimes it's to protect us. And sometimes there's storms that transform us. Just look at Joseph. I mean, for me, that is a big picture of how God's storms transform us. First, his brothers sell him off to be like as a slave. He ends up in Egypt. He gets falsely accused and ends up in jail. I mean, how's that for a storm? He did the right thing. He did the right thing, got falsely accused, ends up in jail. For a few years, it wasn't a short period. It was quite a long period. But in that period, he learned what it means to trust God. He learned forgiveness. Because when he met his brothers later on, he forgave them. He was in tears when he saw them. He learned that what these brothers, and he tells him this, he learns what his brothers did to him that was evil, but God used it for good because he ended up helping his brothers and his whole family, saved him from starvation, which was the birth of the Israel nation. What was meant for evil, God turned into good. It was a storm that was around Joseph for many years, and it taught him, it changed him, so that he could, I mean, look at, imagine your brother does, like, sells you. What brother does that? And you come and meet them years later, and you go, I love you, my bro. That's what God's transforming storms does. So there's different types of storms, and what I'd like to do is, let's look at how we react when storms hit. Yeah, because this has to be practical. If we don't learn from this and grow from this, it's just a Cinderella story. So let's look at, and there's a few different people that reacted differently. Let's look at the sailors. So let's pick it up again from verse 6. So the captain came and said to him, so this is Jonah is asleep in the bottom of the boat. The captain comes to him and says, what do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we may not perish. And they said to one another, come, let us cast lots, that we may know on whose account this evil has come upon us. So they cast lots, and the lots fell on Jonah. Just before this, we read that the sailors were tossing stuff. Do you remember that? They were throwing stuff overboard. They were going crazy. Storm, the ship is breaking. Let's lighten the load so the ship can ride the waves. And isn't that what we do quite often when that storm hits? We get isolated. The devil says, you're not worthy. Look at you, what you've done. You've caused this. Let's isolate us. And then we start bailing. We start throwing stuff. And we're frantic. And very often the first thing we throw overboard is the stuff that God has placed in our lives for a time like this. We let go of that friend because, oh, no, I can't. I don't have time for you now. I can't. Serving team, sorry, man. There's so much going on in my life now. I can't. Run around throwing things. And then when the storm comes, what are you left with? You're alone, which was the point what the devil wanted to do, isolate you. So we run around and we try and lighten the load. How's this next time someone ticks you off, like really irritates you or hurts your feelings? How's this for a change? Instead of going to your friend, you know the friend that you go to when someone said something, you go to that friend. That friend's always went, did you hear what they said to me? Again! I know that person, yeah? Hopefully you're not that friend. How about instead of that, someone says something to me, I feel offended, I go to that person. Hey, Grant, you mentioned something the other day. Can we have a coffee? Let's clear the air. Hey? This week, Taryn and I had a coffee with a couple. Friends of ours, there was some miscommunication and they felt hurt by what happened. And we had a coffee and they said, this process hurt us in the following way. And we could say, we're so sorry. That was not the intention. And we sat and the funny thing was, that was like 5 minutes of the conversation. And then it was joking and speaking nonsense. Because it wasn't that big a deal, but if we had left it, it grows and it grows. Yeah? Or if they had gone to another couple and said, those two, and they're like, you know what? They did this with that person too. Yeah? And then it's like, oh, we need to chat with that person. They say, oh, yeah, no. Yeah, the next thing, it's. The sailors tried to lighten the load. Be careful. The other thing that they did is they reached to the wrong things. How's it? That says they were praying to all their gods. They were grasping on the straws. They didn't even know Jonah really, but they're like, hey, you pray to your God also. Let's cover all our bases here. The one thing that they cannot like the one thing that really could not help them in that situation was their gods. But they were just grasping at straws. And isn't that what we also do? We grasp at different things. Can I say this? And this is from experience. Loans are not the answer to your financial misfortunes. Yeah? Can I say it again? Loans are not the answer to your financial issues. I had to learn that the hard way. How about this? Can you put there's three things here. Alcohol will not make your pain go away. Yeah? Pornography will not make you feel loved and accepted. And the things that you crave for that Black Friday puts up there will not bring you happiness. Can we leave that up for a second? Because those things that you grab onto will destroy you. We have to be careful in the midst, especially in the midst of the storm, what we grab onto, what we cling onto. Yes? The sailors prayed to gods that did not exist, trying to fill a void with something that has no life leads to death. Yeah? And then the next thing the sailors did was they found someone to blame. That's what we like to do when storms come. Yeah. Yes. We need an answer to why is this going on. We need someone to blame. It says they said this to them in Jonah 1 verse 8. Tell us on whose account this evil has come upon us. What is your occupation? Where do you come from? What is your country? And of what people are you? And he said to them, I am an Hebrew. I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. And the men were exceedingly afraid of him. Or exceedingly afraid and said to him, what is this that you have done? For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Sometimes we look for someone to blame when those storms come. Quite often it's a person. That person at work. Yes, we all have that person at work. I had one, worked with the guy for many years. Blamed him for a lot of things. Until I realized, dude, you're an idiot. You're just as messed up, even more messed up than that guy. What makes you, you can blame this guy? He was doing his job. Yeah. Step back. Allow God to speak. Be careful of blame. What's the strategy of the enemy here? Remember, he's trying to isolate you. You start blaming, start pointing fingers, you get isolated. You end up alone. But the thing that really struck me about reading these verses is how Jonah reacted. Did you notice? What did Jonah do when this thing was going on? The storm, the ship is breaking apart, the sailors are making a noise, throwing stuff. He's having a dose. I was like, really? I had to read that again. How deep does Jonah sleep? I was like, that's next level sleeping. I was a couch potato for many years. I could not sleep that day, that deep. I mean, it's, sheesh. And you're sleeping, you're rolling around because they didn't have beds down in the hold. I'm not sure what they had there, but it wasn't a bed and nothing was tied down. So you've been going here. It's like, sheesh, it's unimaginable. But that, for me, is one of the most dangerous things that we do when storms hit. It's that we put this mask on. We are okay. Especially in churches. Oh, you walk through those doors, regardless of what's going on inside and what's going on at home. No, I'm fine. I'm blessed. Yes? We want to greet each other like that. How's it? What's that movie, God's Not Dead, where the two pastors meet each other and they go, God is good all the time? Yes, and all the time, God is good. It's like, yes, that's absolutely true, but how are you? Yes? Have you ever asked someone, how are you? And they go, I'm fine. No, no. How are you? Yes? You're asleep. If you are not acknowledging what you're going on, you're like Jonah. You're sitting there being tossed around, bruises all over the show, things are knocking you in the head, and you go, no, I'm fine. Kung, kung, kung. Be honest. I'm not saying walk through every week and go, oh, I'm being in such a storm. It's like, no, you have a few people that you speak to. Yeah? And it's fine to come in and say, you know what, things, it's, I'm going through some stuff, but you know what, God is working. And I've got a friend that I'm speaking to. But let's be honest. I love what Paul writes to the Ephesians. He reminds them, he says, awake, O sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. He's reminding them, wake up, people. Be honest and let Christ's love shine in you and through you. It's like the captain. For me, that when I read that, it's like the captain. He comes into that place where Jonah is and he shakes him awake and he says, awake. There's a storm going on. Pray to your God. That for me is a call to all of us. Wake up, people. Pray to God, the living God, so that he can come and that Christ's light will shine on you and shine around you in the midst of the storms. Yes. Yeah. I briefly want to touch on two quick other storms before I wrap up. You know, when Jesus was walking the earth, there were two storms that I recall. The one where he went with the disciples, they were in the boat and a storm came up and Jesus was asleep. And the disciples were bailing water and they're like, oh, the storm, that's exact reaction as those sailors. We're going to die. And eventually they go and shake Jesus awake and they go, Jesus, we're going to die. And then he calmly stands up and says, okay, cool. Storm's done. Maybe he had the same genes as Jonah, deep sleeper. But you know, Jesus could sleep because he knew who his father was. So regardless of the storm, he could sleep. And there was another account where Jesus sends the disciples ahead of him. He tells them, go into the boat, you guys go across, I'll meet you on that side. So they go, and it says he went up the mountain, and he had some time alone, and he was watching them go, and he could see that the wind had come up, and he could see that they were struggling. So then he went down the mountain, and he walked on the water, like Jesus does, walks across the water, and he was going to go past them to meet them, but they were crying out, and they were frightened, so he gets in the boat with them, and the storm calms. Two instances, similar situation, storm, people are panicking. The one, Jesus is in the boat. The other one, Jesus is walking past. Some of us have Jesus in our boat. You're a born-again believer. You trust Jesus. You've put your life into his hands. He said, Lord, you are my Savior. I can't save myself. You've done that. Jesus is in your boat. But you may feel, yo, the storm is a bit hectic now. The seasick and the squeaking. And you're trying to get rid of stuff, but it's not working. And you feel it's out of control. And you feel, Lord, I can't hold on anymore. My hands are sore because I've been bailing water. My back is sore because I've been hunched over. I'm holding on to a slippery thing, and it feels like I'm losing my mind. And you feel like, Lord, why is this happening? Because I gave my life to you. You're supposed to help me in these things. And you feel like Jesus is sleeping in your boat. Yeah. I'm going to pray for us in a second. And if that's you, raise your hand. Stand up if you need to. And then the second group of people, you don't know Jesus yet. You've heard, you've sat in meetings like this. You've been in church and you know about Jesus. You know about his sacrifice. But he hasn't come into you, into your heart. He hasn't sunk in. And you're on this boat and you're rowing against the stream. And the wind is blowing. And you're rowing. And your arms are sore because you've been rowing, trying to get this boat to move. But it's not. And the waves are getting worse. And you feel just like the other group, you're out of control. This boat is going to flip over and you're going to sink to the bottom of the ocean. And you'll experience next week. Amy is going to talk about what happened to Jonah. down in the depths of the ocean. It wasn't a good experience. And you feel that is going to happen to you. But can I tell you this? Regardless of where your boat is on the ocean, that scripture, if you go read it in Mark, Jesus was standing on the mountain and he could see them. Jesus knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly the storm that you're going through. He knows exactly what you are feeling because he's experienced it. You are not alone. He's watching you. In actual fact, he's busy walking right past your boat right now. This very instance, if you're feeling out of control, your boat is, you've lost the oars, your rudder is broken, you've got nowhere to go, he's busy walking right past your boat right now. All you have to do is turn to him and say, Jesus, help me. If that's you this morning, I'm going to pray for us now as well. You are not alone. Whether Jesus is your Lord and Savior, or if you've only heard of him, you are not alone. That's a lie from the enemy. The storm that came, that is going on in your life, the storms that you will face, because they will come, God may have sent it. Circumstance might have caused it. It doesn't matter. What matters is who we serve. Who's the one in control of everything? And when we turn to him, those storms change. They become from the massive waves, they come down. Because he's the Lord of it. When Jesus woke in that boat, he spoke one word and the seas calmed. It says when he got into the boat with the disciples, the storm calmed. And actually they were at their destination.